सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। विचार प्रोजेक्ट 6-10 चैप्टर 4। अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय सम्भवाम्यात्ममायया सम्भवाम्यात्ममायया। अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय सम्भवाम्यात्ममायया। यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत ग्लानिर्भवति भारत। अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधूना परित्राणाय साधूना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय सम्भवामि युगे युगे सम्भवामि युगे युगे। परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृतां धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय सम्भवामि युगे युगे। जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यं जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यं एवं यो वेति तत्त्वतः एवं यो वेति तत्त्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यं एवं यो वेति तत्त्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। वीतरागभयक्रोधा वीतरागभयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः। बहवो ज्ञानतपसः बहवो ज्ञानतपसः भूता मद्भावमागताः भूता मद्भावमागताः। वीतरागभयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसः भूता मद्भावमागताः। Lord Krishna said to Arjuna in the beginning that I gave this very same knowledge to Vivaswan, Vivaswan gave it to Manu, and Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. Due to the long lapse of time, this knowledge has been lost here. The very same knowledge has been imparted to you by me today. So Arjuna asked the question, how come you gave it to Vivaswan, the sun god who is belonging to different yuga? Now you belong to just now, I know your date of birth. How is it possible that you could have given this knowledge to Vivaswan? Here we said, whenever people like Krishna, Buddha, Mahavir, Prophet Muhammad, Jesus Christ or anybody who is realized speaks, they speak totally from a different dimension. They don't speak from this bodily dimension. But we, like Arjuna, know only this bodily dimension. So therefore we misunderstand. And that is why many masters don't talk. Because usually we misunderstand, seldom we understand. At least in the case of Arjuna, he didn't misunderstand, he raises questions. Many of us don't do that. We kind of come to the conclusion, understanding it from our dimension, then there is a problem. So here Arjuna is asking the question, How is it possible that you could have given this knowledge to Vibhas 1? I am confused, I don't understand. Please explain to me, what do you mean by it? Make it clear to me, make it known to me. So then Krishna says, many janmas of mine and yours have passed by, O Arjuna. You do not know them all, I know them all. To understand this, I gave the example of somebody living in the multi-story building, 25 floors, and they are living in the penthouse. A guest comes to visit them from some other city, they live with them for a while, and then he is going back, the guest is going back. Their house is next to the railway station. The lady of the house says, I'll stay back. The man goes, accompanies the guest to the station to see him off. The man and his guest, they see the train only when it enters the platform. And this man can see the train only till it leaves the platform. But the lady who is staying on the 25th floor, the penthouse, she is able to see the train from there much before it enters the train, after it has, I mean much before it enters the station and much after it has left the platform. So the deeper the dimension, the greater the vision. We only know this janma. We in fact, the grosser the person, he can't recollect even few things which happened few years ago, right? Whereas somebody is able to go beyond. There are people who can go up to their 3 years. Very rarely a person can go backwards and go to his experiences where he was in his mother's womb. So, all this has happened in you. You know them, you do not know them, I know them all. Right? This is what Krishna said. Now in verse number 6, he says, Ajopi sannavya yatma bhutana ishwaropisan prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atmamalaya. Meaning, this verse is talking about the secret of birth. Now it is being understood as the secret of Krishna's birth. It is anybody's birth. Basically he is saying, though unborn, aja api, aja means unborn. Sannavya atma, avyaya, I am avyaya, imperishable, unborn. Lord of all beings, bhutana ishwaropisa, even though I am unborn, and imperishable and lord of beings, I animating, presiding over my own prakriti, I am born by my own maya, yoga maya. So this is being taken as Krishna's birth. Krishna is born by subjugating his maya. All of us are dominated by maya, but people like Krishna are capable of subjugating their maya and taking birth. In fact, many people misunderstand, and our Bollywood movies also consciously or unconsciously substantiate this kind of misunderstanding. That is, what is that? That is, when you are in trouble, you wait for somebody to come and solve that problem. Like in the movies they show all the fellows are struggling, suffering at the hands of a Buddha. Then hero comes and saves everybody. So we kind of misunderstand these things and wait for Krishna to come and solve our problem. So here he is talking about much deeper thing, like talking about how the infinite has taken birth in finite as it were. Remember, the word as it were is very important. How the infinite has taken birth in finite as it were. How the ocean has taken birth as waves and as it were only. Even while you think it is wave, it is actually the ocean, it is water. It is our foolishness to think that we are waves, but we are actually ocean, we are actually water essentially. So what Krishna says, when Krishna says, I subjugating my own maya, prakriti, I animate myself into this being. What he is trying to say is, Atma is essentially unborn. And Atma in me, the Atma in you, the Atma in everybody, the consciousness in you, the consciousness in me, in everybody is the same. It is unborn. It is never born. And something which is never born can never die. It is abhyaya, it is imperishable. It is the Lord of all beings. Ocean is the Lord of all waves. So he says, I animate my own Maya. What it means is, to understand this, we need to understand hypnosis. When somebody hypnotizes you, having got hypnotized, you may have a very cold object in your hand, in your palm. But he is hypnotizing you as if it is a burning charcoal, hot charcoal. And when you are hypnotized, you actually feel the heat. The surprising thing is, not only do you feel the heat, you also, when you come out of hypnosis, see that you have a boil which has come out of that heat. Notice? It is said in certain people, a man, when he was hypnotized to be a woman, over a period of time being in the state of hypnosis, not only did he think that he is woman, he also developed bosoms. And not only that, he even went to the extent of having menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
So in other words, deeply what you believe is what you become. Please understand this. How the hypnosis happens. Everybody has hypnotized you, and you have hypnotized yourself from childhood that I am this body, I am this body, I am this body, I am this body. You have become the body. So actually what happens is, you have allowed your thoughts, your vasanas to hypnotize you. It is the ignorance that is hypnotized you. It is through the ignorance that the birth takes place, is what he is saying here. Actually there is no such thing as birth. This whole thing is due to ignorance. This is the great secret that he is talking about. But since it is not understood by many, and many have their own theories of avatar, they are waiting for Krishna to be born to solve their problems. So in other words, please understand this. I think I am this body and I have become the body. Thoughts limit us. Everybody asks you, oh, you lost weight. Oh, you have put on weight. Oh, your hair is turning grey, you are getting old. Huh? Oh, you are a woman. You are only capable of this. That is how a woman was psychologically restricted. Right? And the same woman goes abroad, she sees somebody from her own, another woman. She is capable of doing many things. How is that possible? Your thoughts limit you. By my own thoughts, I am subjugating myself and being hypnotized, and I have become the way he is. If I can remove the thoughts, I will be seeing myself as unborn. And Krishna here says, I have gone beyond the thoughts, therefore I know the secret of my birth. Since you have not gone beyond the thoughts, you do not know the secret of your birth. That's all. Essentially, Arjuna is also unborn when he goes to the depth. Krishna is also unborn when he goes to the depth. Right? All of us from the surface appear to be the waves. But if we can go deep inside, then we realize actually we are unborn. We are imperishable. This is what Krishna is trying to communicate to Arjuna from the beginning. Never indeed was I not, nor you, none of us will cease to be hereafter. Always he's been talking about the consciousness being without birth and without death. which is existing all the time, which is absolute existence. So here also he is saying the same thing. Consciousness is absolute existence. So by consciously or unconsciously hypnotizing yourself, you have become this. In our case, the objects and beings have hypnotized us. In Krishna's case, it is a conscious hypnotization. And when you consciously come down, it's called avatara. When you unconsciously fall down, it is called ordinary being. That's the difference. Avatara means avatarati iti avatara. That which comes down consciously. Here I explain to you by saying, somebody is walking in front of you, looking up the skies, or listening to some music, not concentrating, not focusing, not aware. He is walking. Thus, he doesn't see the pit and falls into the pit. You are watching the whole drama happening in front of you, unfolding in front of you. So what you are doing is, you are trying to save that fellow. How? By going down into the pit. That fellow also went down, but he fell down. When you go down, you are consciously going down. This conscious going down is called as avatara. Unconscious hypnotization falling down is called as ordinary being. That's the only difference.
What is the universal ordinary?
Manushya, manam. All of us.
Rebirth.
All of us have this cycle because we believe we are this body. The moment we believe we are this body, the body will have birth and body will have death. So what is limiting us is our belief actually. This is what Krishna is trying to say here. So you have been hypnotized for janmas together. You have allowed yourself to be hypnotized by your own vasanas, your own ignorance, your thoughts. So you are seeing yourself above the thought level. I am able to see myself below and beyond the thought level. So when I am able to go beyond my thought, below my thought, deep inside my core, I am able to see myself as unborn. And I am able to understand that then I am reflected by the thought, I am seen as a reflected thought having its individuality as it were. So this is the secret. In the book, Swamiji has given the example of sunlight. Sunlight is all pervading. Right? It is neither born nor perishes. But in the same sunlight is reflected by a reflecting medium. Then an individual sun is born. So how is the individual sun born? The total sunlight reflected by a mirror appears as a fragmented sun. But essentially sun is never fragmented. You understand? Similarly, you the consciousness conditioned by the thoughts, the ignorance has come in the form of an individual.
It's difficult to think of it like that.
For example, you today.
So are we all one avatar and we are fragmented?
See, basically, every wave is essentially an avatar of ocean. Okay, you look at it this way. Every wave is an avatar of the ocean. But not all waves are conscious of this fact. Seldom one spark here and there is conscious of the fact that I am a reflection of that pure consciousness and refuses to identify with the surface. That is Krishna, that is Buddha, that is Mahavir, that is Jesus, that is Prophet Muhammad, etc. But that sort of a person is seldom Raman Maharishi. Ram Tita, Vivekananda, you understand? Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, seldom it is. So therefore, essentially, when you look at it, what the scriptures are telling us, what the Mahatmas are telling us is, you are also having access to the same infinite potential. The difference is, you are still not activated the account. We have activated the account. Like, you know, when you open the account in the bank, they say you have to activate it. They give you password and all that in the internet. You activate it. Like even when you buy a mobile phone, you need to activate your account. So your infinite potential account remains what?
Deactivated.
You have to activate it. You have the potential within you. This is what he said. But what is happening here without understanding, please don't joke, no, I'm very limited. Please, you come and help me. This is what tamasha is going on. The moment you understand that I have the potential within me, like for example, a tiger cub, you bring it home and you know, the tiger cub grows in your house along with the other pups at home. Slowly, slowly, the tiger is behaving like that only. Right? But the tiger's potential is what?
Ferocious.
Something very, very ferocious. But it doesn't know itself. Right? And they take the tiger into the jungle later on. It is not able to cope up. They need to train. The moment the tiger understands that it is that, it's a totally different tiger.
Lion King.
Exactly. So all of us are exactly like that. We are limited and therefore dependent, looking for mercy, looking for pleasures, looking for this and that outside to different senses and different people, different situations. So Vedanta says, go within, realize your potential, man. Then you will not be dependent. Not only you will not be dependent, to say that you will not be dependent is putting it from the negative point of view. From the positive point of view, you are not only not dependent, on the contrary, you become absolutely contributing personality. When you look at the state of perfection from the negative side, you are not dependent anymore. The same state of perfection, when you look at it from the positive side, you are a contributing factor thereafter. As long as desires are there limiting you, you are incapable of functioning on compassion. The moment desires are taken away, thereafter the person functions out of compassion. So that is the difference. Why would a person who has crossed beyond the desires and thoughts do action? He does action out of compassion, not limited by his vasanas. The person who does actions limited by his vasanas, his actions are done in a beggarly spirit. You understand?
Whereas a Mahatma, he doesn't actually do anything in a beggarly spirit.
He
does everything in a masterly spirit.
Think for it, then.
Exactly. So therefore he says, by subjugating my own Maya, meaning, I know this secret. So I have gone beyond the thoughts. Once I have gone beyond the thoughts, I know the root, where I came from. I have gone back. Now I know the root up and down. Many times I can come and go. Earlier, I didn't know that I came from this root only. For example, somebody blindfolded you and took you somewhere. Okay. A lot of movies also they show like this. Blindfolded and took you somewhere. And this fellow registered all the sounds, this and that, and then he's gone to some point. Now with those pointers, he gets back to the source. Now, when he got back, he did not get back with his eyes blindfolded. He got back with his eyes open. Now, having come back with his eyes open, cannot go back to the same place with his eyes open, up and down, many times. This is the difference between us and avatara. Blindfoldedly, we have fallen into this belief that I am the body. So therefore, the fact that I have accepted my birth, there will be birth and death cycle. I have to go backwards and see myself beyond this birth. Only that is the way of redemption. There is no other way possible. So therefore, he says, through a deep hypnosis, the delusion that has overtaken you, we have been hypnotized by this objects and beings, and we have believed that we are this human beings. Right? We are this limited, restricted individual. That is how the birth is happening. So to be able to see the truth, you need to dehypnotize yourself fully. This dehypnotization process is what entire Vedanta is. A lot of people say Vedanta will hypnotize you. Vedantins will hypnotize you. Vedantins say we are not hypnotizing you. You are already hypnotized. We are only dehypnotizing. But then there is fear, because here there is comfort. Many people are treading this path. Just to go back and dehypnotize yourself, you have to do it all alone, and very few people are there. The fear is there. We have no fear when hundreds of people go in that direction. Even if it is the right path and only one person is going, we have fear. When hundreds of people are going, we take it for granted. This is how an ordinary person thinks. That is why a Shishya is one who should be a very courageous person. Spirituality is not for people who are not courageous. First, we should be ready to be courageous. Are you ready to walk the path alone? A spiritual person is a totally different dimensional thinker. We pray for save me from death. He says save me from birth. We say save me from pain. He says save me from pleasure. We say save me from enemies. He says save me from friends. All these things he keeps on. Everything is pulled up, our thinking and spiritual person's thinking. So though unborn of imperishable nature and Lord of all beings, the core of all human beings, all beings for the matter, presiding over my own prakriti, meaning I consciously come down. You have also come down, but your coming down is unconscious. My coming down is conscious. That is the main thing that he is trying to say. So how do you go into birth? By unconscious, we discussed this before also when we discussed Karma Yoga, if you remember. As I am talking to you, I can make knots with my mouth. Can I not? I am talking to you, as I am talking and playing with the mala, I made knots. Now if I want to undo the knots, untie the knots, then what do I have to do? I have to do it consciously. This is the most important thing. I have to do it consciously. So it is not by using myself in the words that I will be able to get rid of this delusion. By reading Bhagavad Gita, I am getting drowned in the words of the Gita. By reading various Upanishads, I am getting lost in the words of the Upanishads. By reading so many things, I will not escape from this thraldom. How do I get back? By going backwards, I will be able to release myself. So the one of the exercises that is recommended is, for example, every day before you go to sleep, you go your experiences backwards till the time you woke up. Mind can run faster when you go forward. from morning till night. It is running faster. It is easy in a way. But now go backwards, make you more and more conscious. That's what happens. The first thought when you woke up, if you are able to keep that as your hook, it will take you to the last thought before you went to sleep. Previous night. Then that will take you backwards. Like that it can take you up to the womb. Then you see that the first thought that I had when I was in the womb was the last thought I had before I died in the previous birth. Thus, this thought will help you as a hook to go backwards. It is not an easy exercise. Nobody is saying it is an easy exercise. You will probably fall into imaginations. Right? But if you, with the guidance of a guru, you practice that, slowly, slowly you go backwards, then you are able to see that I had a thought before going to sleep. In fact, many of us sleep before the sleep actually happens. What was your last thought? You don't remember. Similarly, when you wake up, you don't remember what is your first thought. But if you really go back, then you will see the connection between the two. So you will see that you actually died resisting. So when you are born also, you are born resisting. Mahatma never dies resisting. When the Mahatma is born, he never is born resisting. It is said when Krishna was born, he was born laughing. When ordinary beings are born, they cry. So the deep inside what they say is, the consciousness which is aware, when a person goes through death consciously, when he is born also, he is born consciously. So in other words, what we need to really understand, the important thing is, we see the waves. They see only the ocean. So from the absolute, there is only ocean, there are no waves. But when you are seeing the waves, how the waves have come about? The waves have come about this way. It is the deep hypnosis through which you have now come to believe that you are a wave. When the hypnosis is taken away, then you realize that you have always been the ocean. But when you believe yourself to be the waves, then they have a birth date. Then a wave will have a
death
date. And the wave is scared of the death date. But deeply if you analyze, in fact Sangramtita says this, he says, nobody actually, if you go deeply, doesn't believe in death. You have plans for so many days. If you really believe that any day you can die, I will do it next year. So deeply if you go into the psychology, you really don't believe in death practically. So Swami Ramakrishna says, this is because you are beyond death, you are deathless. That is why you don't believe in death. Supposing you were, as soon as you were born, you were left in an island where there are no beings. Just some fruits and vegetables grow and you survive them. You have not seen anybody in front of you dying. It becomes very difficult for you to believe that you will also one day will go through death. So how do we believe that I die? I see objects and beings dying. So I think I am also going to die. But deeply if you go and see, I really don't believe in my own death. So Swami Ramakrishna says, this is because you are beyond death. But unfortunately, you have tied yourself to this body. So the problem is tying with the body. Identification with the vasanas. The moment you are able to de-identify with the vasanas, then you see, all this is bakwas. For example, you are in a slumber going through dream. When you are in a dream, if somebody who has gone beyond from the dream, let us say he has access to come into your dream. who was part of the dream before, he comes and says, "Okay, Baba, all this is bakwas. You said, please don't joke with me, you know. Abhi jyada bhook lagta hai. Please give me something to eat. Don't tell me all these things." Wouldn't he say like this? But the truth is what? Are Baba, due to your slumber, due to your sleep, you are now imagining yourself to be this limited personality in the dream. When you cross the dream and you go to the waking state, you realize that all these things were
a dream.
So the difference is, Krishna is saying, I have become the waker, you are still the dreamer. So you as a dreamer still have the potential to be the waker. So this verse is saying that only. The essence that Krishna is trying to tell you is, you are essentially the waker, you have the potential to wake up. Please wake up. He is trying to wake up Arjuna. But foolishly, what do we say? Oh, you are a great man, you are a waker, but I am in this world. So, with your help, can I get this? And the master is saying, no, you do it yourself, you come back, you go back. Oh, please don't put me into a lot of trouble. No, why don't you help me? You understand? Master out of compassion is telling you, Are Baba, your birth as a dreamer is due to your deep sleep. In fact, the psychiatrists who have done research with sleep, they give more importance to sleep than what happens during the waking time. Because all your things are there in your subconscious. When you are dreaming, it is nothing but your subconscious. That is why I keep saying, when somebody says, out of anger, he said something, don't take it seriously. Excuse me. What are you saying? He said something out of anger? What does it mean? It means the subconscious opened up. Now when you are not angry, you are actually, what is happening is, the subconscious is closed. The conscious is enacting a drama. When the subconscious opens up in dream, in anger, it is not a drama. What is inside is coming out. There is so-called drama going on. All of us are cheating each other, putting up a show, pretending. You understand? Little alcohol goes in. Over a period of time, your drama slowly moves. The reality starts coming. So he says, you have the potential to wake up. Don't be dependent on anybody outside. You go within and you also can know. So you do not know does not mean you cannot know. You will never know. When Krishna said, Arjuna, I know many births of mine and yours have passed by. I know them all. Why do you know not? When he said, why do you know not? It doesn't mean it should not be taken as you can never know. Excuse me. But unfortunately, we think I can never know. I'm like this only. I'm an ordinary person. You're all great people. So please help me. Here he says, I only said you do not know. I'm not saying you will never know. You have the potential to know it. You have to work your own salvation. You have to go backwards consciously. Unconsciously you came this far. Now consciously you can go backwards. When you consciously you go backwards, you clearly see this whole thing was nothing but an hypnotization. It is basically conditioning. The so-called education system, we are not being educated, we are being informed. We become literates, not educated. An educated man or a woman is one who has access to his or her infinite potential. Education means he should be free. He should be a liberated person, not dependent. A literate will be probably dependent, but not an educated person. But how many of us in the name of education still continue to be dependent? What sort of education is that? Right? So, the very same verse, verse number 6, which should make me go to my limitless Atman. I misunderstand and I limit myself more and then say, Krishna is Bhagavan, I am an ordinary person. He has animated his own prakriti and has come down for our sake. Jesus Christ came to help us out for a great soul. But what Jesus is saying is, please empty yourself, I shall fill thee. But we will not empty that ourselves. We will not allow the consciousness to fill us. We will continue to be hypnotized by the objects and beings outside. So in short, what he is saying is, this birth and death is only a perception, not a reality. Vedanta talks about theory of perception. It says it is only a perception. In reality, nothing is happening. So how did this way come about? When there is an object, you don't see the object as that object. You know, out of not understanding the object as that object, you misunderstand the object to be something else. Now when you see the object as that object, then the misunderstanding is removed or not? There is a boulder. It is a
boulder.
Boulder is not understood as a boulder by you. Therefore you misunderstand it as an elephant. You are seeing the elephant, this friend of yours who is next to you, he is seeing the boulder there. Right? You are scared. Oh, elephant. He is not at all scared. He is not fear. He doesn't have fear. He is fearless. You have fear. What is the difference? He is not hypnotized himself to believe the boulder to be an elephant. You have hypnotized yourself to see the boulder to be an elephant. When this freedom from that hypnosis comes, then you see this fear was meaningless and pointless. A waste of time. So basically, you identifying with your own vasanas have created this individuality. Individuality keeps its base on this vasanas, which is impurity. The moment you become pure, you have no more identity. See, pure gold has never been made into an ornament. Thoda sa copper add karke ornament is made. When the ornament is made, then it has an identity. Necklace, chain, bangles, earrings, anklet, bracelet, nose ring, etc. Pure gold has no identity. So each one of us have an identity. This identity itself is based on the impurity. When the impurities are removed, what removes the impurity? Only the knowledge. And when we say knowledge, we don't mean the words or information. We mean the awareness. Remember this. So that is why I said, somebody asked me a question, how to go beyond this materialism? I am studying Bhagavad Gita, but my thoughts are all materialistic. I want to start that business, I want to take this business to that height, I want this, I want that, everything is materialistic. But on the contrary, on the other side I am studying Bhagavad Gita. Now, The moment you start differentiating like this, that I am studying Gita which is spiritual, and my thoughts are materialistic, I will never be able to go to spirituality. Please understand, spirituality is never against materiality. You have to go beyond materialism and realize yourself. Grow out of materialism, not move away from materialism. Moving away from materialism, stopping materialism forcefully, will make you more of a materialistic person than a spiritual person. Therefore, Vedanta says, go through the materialistic world spiritually, consciously. Don't take them to be negative, and then you will have guilt. When you have guilt, you either go through the experiences resisting, or you go through the experiences rushing in a rush. Anything when you rush, you will never rise. Remember in one class I said, if you want to have the darshan of Hari, don't be in a hurry. If you are in a hurry, H-U-R-R-Y, then you will never have the darshan vision of Hari, H-A-R-I. Truth. So therefore, don't blame the material objects. It is the movement of the mind, running like mad. That is why in spirituality they say, don't condemn the sense contact. On the contrary, be worshipfully going through the sense contact. When you worshipfully go through the sense contact, you go through the sense contact with awareness. When you go through the sense contact with awareness, impurities slowly gets removed. When you put gold in fire, the impurities are removed. Similarly, when you put yourself in the fire of knowledge, your contact in the fire of knowledge, what happens is, you slowly purify yourself from the vasanas. How do you get trapped into more and more vasanas? By constant thinking about it. By constant thinking about the object, you have built a firm vasana. The child is so adamant, I want it, and is crying, weeping, throwing tantrums. You get angry, you do not know how to handle the child. You tell the child, okay, aram se, stop, slowly, breathe. And slowly you make the child's mind calm. Suddenly the whole thing is gone. So it is the mind's passion running helter-skelter, by thoughts running constantly towards the object, that you have developed a solid flow, dhara. So as Radha, you contact the world, not as dhara. Dhara is the stream from you to the world outside. You turn the flow. When you turn the flow reverse, you become Radha. So you don't condemn the material world. You are unconsciously in a hurry, thing is everything in a hurry. Such a person will be more and more trapped. He is hypnotizing himself more and more. Aram Seva. You understand? Do it mindfully. Do it worshipfully, do it watchfully. Then you watchfully do, then what happens is, everything you will start understanding was just the play of your mind. Then things will become play for you. You will be playful like Krishna. therefore he says, when you go backwards, then you see slowly, like for example, when you go in front of a movie in the theater, the movie is there and you are caught up. But who is crying? Titanic, the fellow hero is drowning. The hero is drowning there in the movie. Here everybody is drowning in their tears. Right? What has happened? They, who gave reality to the movie? You. You hypnotized yourself, right? You hypnotized yourself. And then the tears have come. Like I said, the boils have come. The menstrual cycle example also I said. You wonder these things. But deeply, believe me, if you start believing yourself, it is the mind. You understand? It is the
mind.
You fail to understand this.
But then you try to condition yourself to make it like that. Does your sensitivity also reduce?
Mean? Yes. You tell me what you mean by that.
I think she means a sense of compassion, doesn't it? That sensitivity to feelings, that's what you're saying, to emotion.
No, not to feelings, not to, not to, what should I say? You don't hurt so much. Sensitivity to your getting hurt, not compassion doesn't go away, that, oh, you don't even think that man is a poor man, but.
No, when? You repeat your question once again.
Does your sensitivity also reduce?
When?
When you start being aware.
Deconditioning.
Being aware. Of being.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you say, see, I don't know how to.
Because I don't ever think that one can really get me that. It's too.
Because, please understand.
But you, I do feel, like, let's say, for example, with my kids. Who you are most sensitive about or attached about. If they said that, oh, we can't make it, and now no longer.
He doesn't have to judge my sensitivity.
Yeah, he can share, it's okay, so what?
So you are giving importance, please understand this. For example, you bought a new diamond set, necklace, new. Brand new fashion, which is a limited edition, right? Limited edition has come, and you were the first one or the only one in India. I'm just exaggerating the whole example for you to make it easy to understand. See, so you go to the, you wear it. When you wear it and get ready, do you think what my servant is thinking about it? Does it really bother you what your servant thinks about this new one minute. Don't jump the gun. Go slowly. Does it bother you? Driver, does it bother you what it is? There are so many people who are here and there, you know. But you go to the party. There in the party, you want others to say, oh, you've got a pretty diamond necklace. What is it? Very limited edition. Not you, we are not talking about you. We are talking about somebody who is wearing it. So here in that example, what you need to understand is, a person at the top level has value for those people's comments. He has given the value. Are you with me? Therefore, their comments matter. If they never said anything about the diamond necklace, to buy this diamond necklace, to make sure that she is one person who got it from India, she went through hell. Who all she influenced, God knows. Right? What all she did to get that diamond necklace. So she has got so much of expectation now. So when she went to the party, let's say nobody made any remarks about it. She comes back so dejected. That person, right? In other words, what I am trying to say is, you had no thoughts, values for the servants. So their remarks didn't bother you at all. These people's remarks are not remarking, bothered you. Your thoughts actually bother you. It is not the people, is what I am trying to tell you. So in other words, by going deep inside, slowly, slowly, others' remarks don't bother you. If that is what you mean by sensitivity, yes, that happens. But from the other angle, we say the more and more close you go to self, the more and more sensitive you become. In the sense, you will actually register the pain more. You will actually register the pleasure more. But you will not be getting hurt or excited like before. This is what you are saying.
Exactly.
That's
it.
Exactly.
I think you get more sensitive to other people's feelings. That's what I
think. See, for example, there are subtle noises. For example, noise coming from the ear. We are not aware now. We are lost in the sound of our own words and this and that, our own thoughts. Suddenly, when you quieten, you become more sensitive, isn't it? That sense we say you become more sensitive. See what I mean? That is why I was worried. What do you mean by that? The moment this word sensitive matters a lot, because if I say, like you said, the more and more close and more to the Atma, or the more you become aware, you lose all your sensitivities. Then they say, Baba, I don't want to do anything with Vedanta. This is how people understand. But what you meant by sensitivity is hurting, getting hurt. Right? You will not be hurt. In fact, you become more sensitive to others' feelings.
More understanding.
More sensitive and understanding to others' feelings. More compassionate. At the moment, you do not have compassion. What you have, if at all, is only pity. You do not have compassion. The pity is selfish. It has its root in I and mine and me. Whereas compassion is the total. Never in I and me and mine. So he says, when you go beyond the thoughts, then you see that it's like you go beyond the medium and see sun. The reflected sunlight is the individual sun. The individual sun has birthday, individual sun will have death date. This birth and death cycle continues. So we go on desiring, desiring, desiring. Look at the old man. You say, oh, you lived 100 years. You wanted all the time to live only 100 years. No, now 100 years ho gaye. Tomorrow is the 101st birthday. Would you like to die tomorrow morning? He says, actually, you're right, I prayed for 100 years. But now I don't mind dying. But then next week is my great grandson's birthday. Let me have that birthday party and then I'll die. Meaning, so many desires. You have come into this world with desires, you go out also with so many desires. So in later chapters, Krishna is going to say, what your last thought, that will determine your next birth. And what your last thought will depend on how you lived. Suddenly last minute you will not think of Narayana, it is not possible.
So at times when you start thinking, so you get into some connection, there are some of the qualities of yours which you really want to change. And it takes a whole lot of probably a lifetime to do that. But if you consciously keep reminding yourself, somewhere down the line you do happen to succeed in that thinking. It does happen.
See, any qualities, she's saying, when you grow, you start seeing more and more shortcomings in yourself and you want to change, but it is difficult, it takes a long time. So how does one do that? It is difficult, no doubt, but if you start focusing on what changes you wish to be bringing rather than what needs to be changed. Like if you are weak, if you are focusing on weakness, you will continue to be more and more weak. What you basically want is you want to become strong. So you associate with people who all the time think with strength. Think about strength. Right? So what you eat, food, everything, your focus should be more and more on positive outcome rather than the shortcomings. So if you really want to change, it becomes more difficult the more you start focusing on the shortcomings. The F1 race drivers are caught, I believe, when they meet with an accident or something as they are having, as they are competing in the race. the car is thrown towards the side, right? So they are trained to not see the wall. As the car is going the side, the wall, the obstacles are there. They are trained to see the other way. Because when you see that side, your hand automatically rotates the steering that side. So when you see this side, your steering is rotated the opposite side and the car goes the opposite side. So whosoever wishes to bring change should start training themselves to focus on the positive outcomes rather than the negative. This is what I was telling you also. A lot of organizations call for a meeting, and in the meeting, most of the meetings they are discussing how it is not possible to achieve. We don't have to call for a meeting for that. Meeting is called for to see how it can be possibly made, how we can do it, or how all we can do it. Right, wasting our time. So that's all you are supposed to do. So here also the potential of this verse is to take you to that infinite potential. But unfortunately, this also people became dependent, thinking that Krishna is going to come. He was born in Dwapara Yuga. Now Kalki Bhagavan Anachari. We are waiting. Kalki Yuga. We are waiting for this and that. When you have so much potential, this is what that movie Swadesh also is talking about. Remember, the guys in the village, that's what they have electricity and all that. They have applied here, they have applied there, nothing is happening. This fellow Larbu Garbu comes, he says, the actor, the role he plays there, he comes and says, okay, you've done application, everything you've done, they are not doing this fine. But why can't we do what we can do? And they will just bring about the electricity for the village. So this is what he is trying to do in these verses. But what has happened is people have become more dependent. Krishna said he will come, he is going to be born, he will manipulate his maya and he will come. So when he says, I animate my own prakriti, my birth is a conscious birth. I know the secret of my birth. And there is no difference between my birth and your birth. The only difference between you and me, he says, is I am conscious, you are unconscious. Therefore, to move from unconscious to conscious, we need to do it consciously by understanding that we are unconscious. The biggest problem is, I am not conscious that I am unconscious. When I am conscious that I am unconscious, I am consciously unconscious. Then, I will consciously put in the effort to move backwards. Conscious putting in efforts doesn't mean reading volumes of pages and trying to remember all of them as though the words are going to save me. I have to dig deep inside the words, go deep inside and then realize the truth. So use the words in my own life and go deep inside. Dig myself deeply, then I will become more and more conscious. I am not going to resist anything that I do. You have to live in this world, you have to find God in this world. You will find God in Himalayas as if He is hiding there. You go all the way from here to Balaji to see God. The priest over there has applied for 5 days vacation, 5 days holiday. Okay, with me. We are not ridiculing, please understand. We are not ridiculing the traditions, we are not ridiculing anything, we are not ridiculing worship. But you need to understand, it is going within. It is not just going to places. Going to places, if they can help you in going within, then going to places will take you to that inner place, inner Atma. Otherwise, going to places is only an excuse. If you go places looking for Bhagwan there, then Bhagwan tells you, what are you doing, man? Huh? I'm very much inside you. And then you go there and that place happened to help you to realize that Bhagwan is within you. Then you realize that it was foolish for me to come all the way. But it was also necessary for me to come all the way because it was here. See, in other words, Buddha got realization under the Bodhi tree. Everybody is going under the Bodhi tree. Nothing has happened. You understand? Have you been to that place?
So out of curiosity also people do go?
Mostly out of curiosity. As if that tree is, if that was the case, then so many people must have by now realized it. Right? For Buddha, that place was conducive for him to go with it. For you, that place need not be the tree. It can be anything. You don't know what it is. You need to find that out. Instead of that, everybody is going there as if that place is something. You understand? Ramana Maharishi found himself inside the cave, let us say. So many people have gone inside the cave, nothing has happened. It is not the place. It is not that you should be against the place either. It is neither the place nor away from the place. If for you marriage helps you to realize the self, through that you realize. If for you sannyas helps, through sannyas. You understand? But the problem is you think he became sannyasi, therefore he realized. So what are you doing? You are also trying to run away from marriage. You will never find it that way. So that is what I am trying to tell. It's not that you have to run away from the material world. Within the material world, you have to find. It is not by covering the length, it is by covering the depth.
What is the kumbhan about?
Huh?
What is the kumbhan about? I mean, it really has no meaning. The kumbh is happening nowadays. I mean,
what do you think is the meaning of
that? I don't know. I'm very cynical about this. I mean, I've never had the thing to go and...
That's what I said. For you,
for me it has
if been going to a place which can be mosque, church, temple, whatever it is, anything can be an inspiration, helps you to go within, do that.
So most it must be. That's why they go there for a day. I don't know.
If for somebody,
yeah.
I'm telling you, there are people.
It could be a ritual. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It could be with the flow, you know. Blind faith.
Many people go with blind belief.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So therefore, what I'm trying to say is, if there is not, there is no reason for you to become against Kumbhaya.
Yeah.
Not as if something will happen. If that is the case, crores and crores of people must have been realized by now. Huh? It is not the place, it is not the person, it is not this, it is not that. Whichever place can be a tree. For Buddha it was that particular tree. For you it can be something else. Hmm? It can be anything. I don't want to be saying certain things, but if you really think, it can be even what is considered to be negative for some people, there you can find the truth. Because truth is everywhere. And usually when you think it is negative, in the negative, you are not looking for the truth, isn't it? If you are looking for the truth, you will find it there. What? See, you have already been conditioned. You have already been conditioned to believe that it is negative. Therefore, how can truth be there in the negative? So you don't look for truth there. But there is another fellow who comes, who is not conditioned to believe that it is negative. He is coming looking for the truth. He finds it there. How come I missed it? Because you didn't look for it. So even the so-called sensualities, you can find the truth. The question is, are you looking for it? The problem is, even in Kumbh you are looking for sensuality. Because going to Kumbh, you will be sent to heaven and heaven. You can be having all throughout the day party. Right? From morning to night party, party, party. That's what your concept of happiness is. Right? Now, if you really Kumbh, you are looking for that. So it is you, it is not the place. So don't have notions against it, and it is no meaning to have notions for it either. If you understand this, please go. Let's conclude. पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति